Now that's my vernacular. John says, if we walk in the light, walk in the light as he is, as he is in the light. Then we have fellowship, and one with another. And the very life of Christ, the very blood of Christ, the very life of Christ cleanses. And we could come in with other verses there, and also we are washed by the washing of the water of the Word. We live in Christ, yet not I, not our own lives, but that life who lives in us. And it is an ongoing life, an ongoing, ever expanding in this way, ever expanding in that it is ever taking possession of. Well, in Christ we face the kingdom of God. And I really want to go there, because there we are brought into the government of that kingdom. The government of that kingdom. We're brought into the administration of the fullness of the times. The government of that kingdom. Kingdom itself means rule. The rule of the king is his kingdom, and it is a sovereign thing, because a king is a sovereign thing. It isn't a democracy. If it is, then it's not a kingdom. And that's just the way it works, hon. And those words are here in the scripture, and I want us to look at them in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, because then when we deal with governments and we deal with sovereignty, of course, all of this is gathered up in the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. The Lamb who is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. The Lamb and the Lion comes together. All of this. Why? Well, because that reality, the reality, the comprehending of the reality of who Christ is, who the kingdom is, who the kingdom is, has to take place in our hearts. And it does through a God-revealed, spirit eye-opening understanding that is not ours, but is written in our hearts. But we're not really going to do that. We come to have one heart. I knew somewhere in the scripture it was written that way, and I found it yesterday. We come to one heart. One heart. Well, his heart, his mind, my word. This ceases to be a theory and becomes a reality that genuinely works in our soul. And all of this is in relation to a view of Christ It is the high priest and the king becoming united in the person of one. Our high priest, the king priest, the great king priest, Abraham met him before the law, but he met him in, you know, he met him in type and shadow. He met him in the form of Melchizedek. Now, Melchizedek represented the order of an endless life, but endless life is not the order. The order of an endless life, and the order of the endless life was, he was both priest and king. Nobody else is that. King Uzziah. King Uzziah tried to be that, and he ended up smitten. His leprosy was just turned wrong side out. And he died a leper. What has all this got to do with the throne or with the altar, with the king? Because that's what we're going to look at. We're going to look at the throne and the altar. The throne and the cross come together. My Lord. They really do, hon. You see it in Isaiah 6. In the year that King Uzziah died. Said, why did he use that? There's a reason for all of this. What did that have to do with Uzziah's death? Everything. I saw the Lord. Where Uzziah tried to be. I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high, lifted up. His train filled the temple. The temple. Well, he goes on, as you well know, but we'll not do that just now. But here is where both the throne and the altar come into view. Very real view. Verse 6. And one of the seraphims said unto me, having a live stone in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. Well, we'll look at this here. We'll look at this in the first chapter of Ezekiel, and then we will look at this in the first five chapters of Revelation. Because, hon, all of this is a reality found in Christ. The reality found, a view of Christ to those who are in Christ. Because it is an ever-abounding view. An ever-abounding view of one in whom God hath summed up all things. All things. In heaven and earth. In Christ. What a reality. See, what we in actuality, if you are in Christ, I mean there by new birth, there by baptism, then you certainly need to be there in understanding. And that is something toward which the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth and the Spirit of revelation and knowledge of Christ, works continually. Works continually. John is always saying, I looked and I saw, I looked and I saw. And that's what you do. You look and you see. to those who look for him shall he appear. I mean, there's nothing, there's not really, you know, it's not some kind of a subsequent work of God to salvation at all. No, absolutely not. It is the Spirit of God showing you, taking that is mine and showing you unto you. You who are in me, you in whom I shall dwell. All of that he's talking about in this discourse that he makes in John 14, 15, 16, and 17. So I want to continue with this reality, just looking at it. Let me just read something to you here as an introduction to this. Because I was going to read Isaiah and Ezekiel, and so I've mentioned that to you. We'll come back to it. But with regard to what we're looking at now, we read in the of such a salvation, and we read it throughout the Old Covenant Scripture, and particularly in Psalms, having to do with the Psalms of David. And, David was who he was, and he was a type and shadow established of God. But with David, there is David and Solomon, and there is king and a kingdom. So when we're talking about David and the view of Christ that he represents, we're not talking about Moses, we're talking about David. And then we're talking about Solomon. But it is a king, and it brings into that picture of Solomon and his temple also a kingly priesthood. I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I'm reading this to you, hon, because where are we come? In Christ, we are come to Mount Zion. There is a mountain representing the old covenant, representing the first order, representing the covenant of promises, the covenant that pointed beyond itself, all of that. You're not come to that mount, which was Sinai in Hebrews, but you are come to Mount Zion. And everything that is listed there by the Hebrew writer can be found in the Old Testament, because it all relates to Christ. In Christ, you are come to Mount Zion. I've set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. God having his king in his place, the type David, the result, unity. Oneness among Israel. Now, David was a warrior, but among Israel. And then that coming to its real completeness in Solomon. And we know that, or it is there for us to know. But with the coming of David, the crowning of David and the recognition of David, and he was given that recognition first in his father's house, then he was given that recognition where he had gone because he didn't want to kill Saul, and he didn't want to be killed by Saul either, to Ziklag, and there he was living in a cave. But this is where the real drawing unto David and going out unto David started to take place. And it was with those men of valor and so forth. And then after that, there was formed with them and in them around David a strong fellowship. A strong David, thou son of David, thine are we. As they bowed to him. And these people were not running from Saul, they were going out unto David. What a tremendous thing. What a tremendous thing. You see, the power of the kingdom, hon, is not coming in and taking something over. I mean, it's not that way with the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God. It is drawing, and it draws out from every kingdom, our country, our government, our race, our color, in the world, on the earth, and doesn't ask permission at the borders. Because it has nothing to do with coming from one country to another. It has to do with being translated into the kingdom of his dear son. Drawing. These were drawn unto David while he was at Ziklag. But it never says, no place in the Bible refers to that they were drawn to the place where David was. They were drawn to David in the place where he was. Always drawn to David. And that's the way it has got to be. Or it's just you and I leaving one place and going to another place. Now, not only literally, not only physically, we can do that in our hearts. We can do that in our understanding, and it just becomes an understanding. Well, I was here, but now I'm there. And it's just kind of a theological understanding. We believe it because that's what the Scripture says. And there's no problem of believing something because that's what the Scripture says, but to believe something without understanding doesn't really cause it to be exercised in my heart, in my soul. It's just something that I've left this theology and now I'm in this theology. I used to believe this, now I believe this, and I'm doing my level best to make it work. And it won't work any better than the last one you had. Why? Because it's all a letter. Because it's all being handled by a carnal mind, a natural mind. That's why the coming of faith is not through understanding with a natural mind, sweetheart. It isn't through something you see with your natural eyes. And that's the way it is so often set forth. The more you hear with your natural ear, the more you see with your natural eye, the more, you know, faith you have or whatever. That's the wrong realm. See, the spiritual reality of the thing. Being in Christ is as real as Christ being in you, because they both speak of that same union, which comes about in you and I, not because we change theologies or change religious viewpoints. It's because we are born from above. Born of He who is the beginning. Born anew, yes, anew, altogether other. It bothers me, and I'm not trying to get real picky here and all of that, but something came to my mind just then. It bothers me when we start calling the new creation a new humanity, because I find nothing of humanity in it. How can it be a new humanity when it's not Jew, it's not Greek, it's not bond, it's not free? It does, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, but it's not of the earthen vessel. It's not known by my earthen vessel, for we know no man after the flesh, and it bothers me. Because it's not really a new humanity, it's a new creation in Christ, and there's nothing actually human about it.
That's right.
Darling, He laid down His humanity on the cross. Well, that's not a point of argument with me. It's just that it does bother me, you know, because it's not a better humanity, a good humanity. I go down that line all the time. I say, no, it's not humanity at all. It is not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the reason I'm making a point of it now, hon, is that you've got to get away from trying to understand a translation made by the Spirit of God through new birth and through baptism, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Himself working in you, a translation from power of darkness or from whatever into the kingdom of His dear Son. That's an inward working of God, so that the Lord Jesus says the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, not with outward. No, you're not going to see it coming. It is not with that kind of observation. And then He goes on to tell the Pharisees, the kingdom of God is in you. It's an inward. It's part. It is a result. It is a government of the one who lives in us. But it does, to me, it does expand my thoughts and my view. It expands my view of what it means to be in Christ. Well, we're in the kingdom of God. We're in the kingdom of God. We're there where the Holy Mount is, Mount Zion, which is certainly not some kind of a, you know, dirt and rocks. I started to say it's certainly not a literal mountain, but you see, in the truest sense of the word, it is. It just can't be touched. It can't be seen. But it's more real than anything we can look at and see this morning. Because why? Because of what it represents in the Scriptures, and that which it represents in the Scripture, which I've just read a little bit of it to you. I've set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. It's fulfilled. Zion is fulfilled in Christ. See, hon, another thing, and I know I may seem to be going around in circles, but really I'm not. Zion, I've seen it. So many movements, It's like Melchizedek. Everybody there for a while was part of the Melchizedek order. Oh, Lord, because they was either going to live forever or they had found out that they were Christ. I don't know. And same thing about so much of what we're talking about, but it has to become a reality that is revealed in the very person of Christ himself. Zion is not fulfilled in me. It's fulfilled in Christ who lives in me. Now we need to get a hold of this, of these things which are fulfilled in Christ. Because so many, and I mean precious brethren too, precious brethren, look for them in the church. Try to judge the measure of them by, you know, by the church. But the church is not the measure of it. Christ is. The church is to come to the knowledge, the understanding, the comprehension, the mind of the perfect man. To what measure? To the fullness of the stature of that perfect man. To the fullness of the stature of Christ. He is fully what he is. He is fully who he is. And he is fully our salvation. And for me to sit here and talk about, however, a measure of the comprehension of Christ working in you does not take anything away from the measure of his fullness. Do we understand that? So we're talking about the reality of our union with him, hon. And the clearer you see this, the clearer you see this, the clearer you see this, the more you see that nothing here that I can see is my life, my eternal home. But the one in whom I dwell is. This world as a planet can go on, you know, forever. Or it can blow up tomorrow. It would have no effect on our being in Christ. It would have no effect on the new creation in Christ Jesus. None at all. You know, when I quit arguing about the end of the world or the destruction of the planet or those kind of things, you know when I quit arguing about that? Or where you're going to spend eternity when you die? I mean, really in my heart, I mean, when it just became a non-issue, well, it was through a God-given viewing, seeing, comprehending that we're in Christ. And the rest makes no difference. It's a non-issue. It's a non-issue. Will we all go up in the whatever? It's a non-issue. He has already quickened us together, raised us together, seated us together in heaven in Christ. Now that's the realm about which Paul speaks, about which the scriptures speak, and about which you and I are speaking now. So we've been looking at that, just saying, focusing our hearts, focusing our view upon the one whose body we are. And I think it seems to me that here or somewhere, and I think it was here with regard to this lesson that we finally read in John 16. I'm almost certain I can hear myself saying the same thing then that I'm saying now. It took us a long time to get here. John 16, verse 12. But in case you have forgotten that or I didn't do it, let's look at this. I have yet many things. Now this is so important here that we read the scripture, that we don't, you know, read it like the latest novel. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot. You cannot bear. Yes. You cannot bear them now. Have you ever thought about the connection of those two words? You cannot hear them. The word hear is also used. But you cannot bear them now. You may want to think about that. How be it? See, there's one coming, and he's talking about himself coming. In the reality of that Spirit of truth, he himself coming by his own Spirit, he himself coming, this time as the substance and fullness of the second, having nothing to do with the first, having already taken the first to the altar. Now he comes. But look, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, not does come, is come. We just need to look at that term, is come. So many of the things that religion, that Christian religion deals with, I mean, you know, it's with terms like it should come, it will come, all of these kind of things that put to it, but everything we have in Christ, hon, is come. It is come. Is come. Not coming. Not should come. Not what, no, is come. And that puts the word come into an altogether different definition. It's an eternal reality of something that is ever present. Is come. When he is come. Now he's already told them in John 14, I will come to you. And he goes on and says, in that day you will know I am in my Father. You are in me. I am in you. All of this reflects to that. But finally he brings it here. So let me go ahead and read this. Is come. He shall glorify me. See? That's not an end toward which he is working. That's what he'll do. For he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Wherefore said I that he shall take of mine and show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and you shall see me, because I go to the Father. See, hon? It's what we're talking about here. It's what we're talking about here. That there is a natural understanding, and concerning the things of Christ, it cannot prevail. Concerning the things of ours in Christ, it's simply no good. The light of that whole union, the light of that whole reality, is the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And you'll look where Paul is stating this, particularly in 2 Corinthians 4 and 5, actually beginning in 2 Corinthians 3 and then 4 and 5. And you'll see that it's talking about the tabernacle of God. It's talking about the body of Christ that we are. It's talking about coming from one system, that of the law, to the system, if we can use that term, that is Christ himself. So it's talking about coming from one administration, that of the law, and it's coming to another administration where the whole thing is Christ himself. You see that? Sometimes we want to see Christ rather the same way that we look at Moses. Moses and the law of commandments. Moses and this. Moses and that. With regard to the old covenant, Moses and that. With regard to what we have in Christ, it's not Christ and anything. Christ, who is joy. Christ, who is the life. Christ, who is resurrection. Who is life. Who is eternal word. Who is wisdom given of God. Who is the understanding of the Lord. Jehovah. It's Christ. So it really isn't the thing of Christ giving us anything other than that who he is. And it isn't anything that the Spirit of God shows us anything other than who he is. We see it in the reality of him, and that's what makes it a reality, an acknowledged reality in our soul. the truth becomes substance. The truth becomes substance. The truth becomes, well, becomes evidence. Because it is Christ. Faith being the substance, the things hoped for. Faith being the evidence of things not seen. Now see, hon, that's not somebody just believing that, you know, what God said he'd do, he's going to do. No, faith is actually seeing what he hath done. And when you do that, when you see that, you've got to be looking at his Son. Not in an outward way, but in an inward viewing. So that's just the place where we are. And here in Christ, here in this relationship, darling, everything we know, truly know, has to be. It has to be based upon this right here. It has to be based upon this. He will guide you into all truth. Whatever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. What is that? The things of which I am now speaking. Talking of him, he will show you that. Because he explains, he will receive of mine and show it unto you. All right. So we have also discussed, along with this that I've just been talking to you about. So then salvation is not self-centered. It is not self-centered. Not me-centered. It isn't you-centered. It is Christ-centered. Christ-centered. It's really more than that word can say. You know, Christ being the center of it. Unless you really make something out of the word center. Christ-centered. But when I say that, and when most of us say that, or all of us here say that, what we're actually saying is that salvation is Christ. Christ is our salvation. We've come to see that God's view of salvation is having all things gathered up, and not just gathered up, but presented in one Son. He tried to do that with the Jews because Christ very definitely witnessed to them first, you know that, to confirm the covenant. The verse that seems to be all negative is a verse that explains what God really did. He came to his own received him not. My point in saying that is that God did not send them in reality. He didn't send them another prophet to talk about the one that was yet to come. He had sent all of the prophets. He'd sent every one of them. And every one of them talked about this one to come in one way or another. Even John. I mean, look, God allowed John to come on the scene before Christ himself did. And who did John talk about? Christ himself. Even to the calling of him, "Behold the Lamb of God." So he came to his own. That's why I'm pointing out here and making something out of this, is that it was he himself. He himself. Because as we look at some of this, it's got to become that with you and I, hon. It cannot just remain to be a really, really true and good and sound theological presentation. It's got to be in our mind, our heart, and therefore in our words, the presentation of the very person of it. The very person of it. Why is it not me-centered? It's not me-centered because it's Christ-centered. It's not me-centered because it's him. When will it cease to be me-centered? When I see him. Because all around, throughout the whole Christian religion, as a form, it's all about, it's about me and it's about mine. Hon, you can't listen to it without just hearing it. But then when you're really pressed, when you're really trying to find the answer, when you're really being pressed, and I mean really pressed, then you're told by that same presentation, by that same theology, well, one day, and the person is always connected with something that is not, is come. And that's why I make such a big deal out of is come. Because none of that, you will be told, is come. Just hold on. See? Because they talk about that, that is come, when it finally gets here, it's going to change the world. No, it didn't. No, it has anything to do with changing the world. It's not going to make heaven out of the earth. It's not going to make heaven out of the world. You're there now in Christ if the eyes of our understanding were just open to that reality. And finally quit preaching it as everything but the reality of our present union with Christ, that union which is in the Father, in the Son, and that union where you and I have been, that union where we have come in Christ, being in Him. What a place, what a reality. So you see, we're still talking about, and I'm looking at the notes, and we're still looking at, and we really need to. So we'll just go up a little while, a little ways at a time. That it's not self-centered. God's view of salvation is having all things gathered up and presented in one Son. We have read that time and time again. We read it in Ephesians, the first chapter. We read it in the whole letter to the Ephesians, but it starts off right there in the first chapter. You know that in verse 1, I guess, but 9 and 10 is what we're pointing to. It is not God's purpose, hon, that you, that I, who are in His Son, should remain ignorant of the reality of being in union in that Son. Nor would God have us to be ignorant of the person of Christ in whom we dwell. Not ignorant of our union with Him, and certainly not continue to be ignorant of He. Darling, think bride. Bride. That's not something you're going to be. That's who you now are, but in most cases don't know it. But it's the same thing. We're His body. But in most cases, that's just as hollow as my voice is. We don't know it. Now, again, I have to tell you, I'm not talking to you who are seeing Him, but the church world, the religious world, what you hear and see, and you can't help but be faced with it. And there are a lot of precious believers there that are looking for answers there. I just come from a place that was full of people, many of which were real believers, and God could find nothing in what they were being told, and never will. The reality of it being in Christ. So we talk about bride. Half the people that preach the bride tries to make it some special group of people. It is a divinely revealed, instituted, given relationship with Christ. His bride is not something other than His body. His wife is not something other than His body, the church. But it is something that most who are His body and the church have no understanding of at all. Because, see, it takes us, honey, into that realm of, this is not a dirty word, but into that realm of not just the objective, but the subjective. You've got to know that out of your natural marriage, darling. It cannot just be an objective view. There's a real relationship going on there that is very much entered into and is subjective. And even has questions that come up in it. Well, then what does it mean to be a family? What does it really mean to be a wife? What does it really mean then to be a mother? What does it mean to be a father? What does it mean to be a granddad? What? Come on. That's the same person. It's just different relationships. Because something develops. We come to understand something. And that's even in the flesh. And I use marriage because that, well, because that's where it's really necessary. But what I'm telling you is our union with Christ. But it's an expanded realm of our union. His bride. Wife. I will show you the Lamb's bride. I'll show you the Lamb's wife. What did He show? But what view of the one? Came to be seen there. What view of the husband? we'll find that it's not all about the wife or the bride. It never changes, honey. I mean, you know, we say in the body of Christ, not about us, it's about him. That doesn't change when you see that we're his bride and his wife and his city. It's still all about him. He's still the beauty of it. But in this picture, as being the Lamb of God, the eternal Redeemer, oh yes. But he is also, you see, it has moved from just something dealing with redemption, something dealing with reconciliation, something dealing with the mess of sin, and it has moved. Lord of Lords, King of Kings, the throne of God and the Lamb. Now what? Out from which comes what? The river of life is the street of it. I mean, come on. What are we talking about over there? We're not talking about end time events. We're talking about, in those references, the reality of being in Christ, who liveth in you. Look at the picture of that city. All of a sudden, the throne of God is not some big chair somewhere. And you can bring the pictures of Ezekiel gave of it and Isaiah gave of it right over there. Into the very person. The government of that kingdom is not legalistic. It's much more real than that. It is the Spirit of truth. It is the administration of all that is gathered up in Christ, of all that Christ is. Hallelujah. So, what time is it, guys? I didn't punch the button up here. Okay, I'm finished. I stopped on the page here, but I've been looking at and putting some printouts into it, the administration of the fullness of Christ. And we'll move on until we come to a place where we have to go to that view of Christ. Blessed be the Lamb of the living God. Father, thank you for your great grace. Thank you for opening the eyes of our understanding to see Him who is the fullness of all that thou hast given, and that all that thou hast given is found to be in Him. Lord, 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 lead us, guide us, direct us by thy Spirit, I pray, in the blessed name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you all for being with us. If there's any way that we can help, any way we can minister to you, any way we can reach out more than we're doing now, please let us know. And we'd just love to have you to communicate with us from time to time in any way that you should choose. So the Lord richly bless you. And by way, I thank you who do help us do what we're doing, in that your support given to CMI, in order that we may continue to, and not just continue, but continue to reach out with this gospel throughout the Lord's body and around the world. Not just to be here, but to reach out from here. And so we thank you for that. Anytime you can come and see us, don't hesitate to do that. We're looking now even to our gathering together next summer, and who knows how many times before that. So the Lord bless, and look for us daily on the internet. Amen.